is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. Today we're talking with Father Maurice Henry Sands, Executive Director of the U.S. Bishop's Black and Indian Mission Office in Washington, D.C. Father Sands is a priest of the Archdiocese of Detroit and a Native American who brings a deeply personal perspective to his work. We'll explore the work of the Black and Indian Mission Office, which has been serving Black and Indigenous Catholics since the 19th century. We'll also talk about a new film the office has produced that tells the inspiring story of how African Americans found a home in Catholicism. So, Father Sands, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
You're welcome. I'm glad I'm able to participate in your program.
To start off, could you tell us a little bit about your own background and Indigenous heritage? Where did you grow up and what was your experience of Native American culture?
Sure. I grew up on a First Nation community in Ontario. It's actually right on the border with Michigan. It's located an hour north of Detroit. It's called the Bekajwanong First Nation. And in our language, Bekajwanong means where the waters divide, because our First Nation community is located on a group of islands that make up the delta of a large river. And we call it unceded territory, UNCEDED, because we never signed any treaties with any government to give up our land, nor to agree to become a reservation. But that's what happened, in the early 1800s. It was actually a decision by the British government and the U.S. government to put the border right through the middle of the islands that we lived on. And they said, you know, one half of these islands are U.S. territory, one half are Canadian. The Native people can live on the Canadian islands, and the other islands now belong to the United States and no longer belong to the Native people. So it's a very beautiful island, and I belong to the Ojibwe, Odawa, and Potawatomi tribes, which are really very similar to one another. We call ourselves Anishinaabe. All three tribes speak the same language. We call ourselves Anishinaabe. It means the people. And, the names that we're known by are names that come from other tribes, you know, that are given the names to us. So that's where I grew up.
What was your experience of the culture there, and how did that connect with your Catholicism?
Well, sure. Yeah. So my parents wanted us to grow up, you know, in our home community so that we would know our family and know our culture. So, you know, everybody that lives on the First Nation community is Native, and, you know, there are lots of expressions of our culture, language, and art, and music, and dance, and food. And, you know, there are still people engaged in, hunting and fishing, living an Indigenous lifestyle when I was growing up. I don't think there's as much of that going on anymore, but definitely, it was a very a distinct place culturally. So I'm very glad that I was able to grow up there. In the area where my ancestors lived, they were introduced to Catholicism in the first decade of the 1700s by Jesuit missionaries. And in Michigan, those Jesuit missionaries were there. The communities they established didn't endure, but then later on, other missionaries came along, Father Gabriel Richard, Bishop Berga, and they established Catholic communities in the 1800s that, you know, that have endured to the present day. So, my Catholic roots go back, more than 300 years. Wow. There are Native Americans in the United States whose Catholic roots go back more than 500 years.
Some of my favorite saints are the North American martyrs, the Jesuit missionaries you mentioned, who served so heroically in trying to bring the gospel to what is now Canada and the United States. Actually, one of my son's middle name is Jogue, after St. Isaac Jogue.
Right.
We hear many inspiring stories about the North American martyrs, and they definitely were heroic, but the indigenous part of that story is really silent. And in many ways, they were just as heroic in embracing the faith. There were martyrs from the indigenous communities.
Sure.
How come we don't hear about them, and why aren't they canonized, and how is that process going?
Well, I think it's very typical, when a more dominant group, is recording history, even if they record information about, in this case, even, where they have recorded information about the native people, which really did happen extensively with the Jesuit relations. The focus on what was re-recorded is on the martyrs in the case of the Jesuits who were here in Canada, beginning in the 1500s, and with other recording of history, whether it's the government or people that decide that they want to write a book about the history of the United States or Canada, they tend to not really pay much attention to the native people. I mean, it's very, very typical even to the present day, which is one of the reasons why I thought it was important that our office creates these documentaries.
In recent years, popes have made a real effort at reconciliation with First Nations. And recently, we had Pope Leo return some important artifacts
Yes.
to Canada. How far do you think those kinds of gestures go within Indigenous communities?
Sure, I think that they go a long way, because for people who are, subject to significant injustice and wrongdoing, when the people who have committed that wrongdoing or people that represent them, make efforts to say, we acknowledge that what happened in the past or even what happens in the present is wrong, and we regret it, we're sorry for it, we want to do what we can to, to repair the relationship. It's necessary that that happens, and it does go a long ways to helping to bring about healing and reconciliation. So I would say that that was a very important gesture. That was something that was initiated when the First Nation people went to visit with Pope Francis in 2013. I was part of the delegation, and it was brought to fruition recently with Pope Leo.
Could you tell us more about your office, the Black and Indian Mission Office in Washington? Why was it formed, and what is your mission today?
Sure. Yeah. So our office, the Black Indian Mission Office, is actually three different organizations. And the first organization, the oldest one, is the Bureau of Catholic Indian Missions, which was established in 1874. It was a joint effort between Archbishop J. Roosevelt Bailey, who was the Archbishop of Baltimore, and then Cardinal Gibbons, was his successor, who continued the work that Archbishop Bailey was doing, with Native Americans. But at the time that they established, this office in 1874, the U.S. government had a policy called the Peace Policy, and part of what they were doing with that was to assign missionaries to different Native communities across the United States, and they had a bias towards giving permission to Protestant missionaries to go to Native communities and even in communities where there are already Catholic missionaries who were well established, they replaced them. So one of the reasons that Archbishop Bailey and the bishops of the U.S. wanted to establish this organization, the Bureau of Catholic Indian Mission, was to promote and protect Catholic Indian mission interests in the United States. And they also wanted to be an advocate for Native Americans with the U.S. government because they saw that there were, lots of unjust practices and policies that were taking place, such as the peace policy. So that's the first organization. And then in 1884, the bishops of the U.S. all got together at the Third Plenary Council in Baltimore. And one of the important decisions that came out of that plenary council, among lots of important decisions, was to establish the first national collection, the collection that today is known as the Black and Indian Mission Collections. The bishops wanted to have this collection to raise funds to support ministry to African American Catholics and Native American Catholics because they recognized that both groups, were experiencing, a lot of hardship and disadvantages because of slavery for African Americans and, the efforts to wipe out Native Americans for Native Americans. So they established that collection in 1884 and it has continued to the present day. and the current Black Indian Mission Office distributes the funds from the collection every year. We administer the collection, make sure that it's promoted, make sure that the dioceses and parishes have the material they need for the collection, and we receive the funds and then give out grants to parishes and missions and schools, diocesan ministry offices, national organizations that serve the two groups of people, and other organizations as well. So, we have been supporting ministry to the two groups for more than 140 years, and many of the parishes and missions and schools and other organizations probably would not be around today if it wasn't for, the generosity of, the faithful of the Church in the United States who, give generously to the collection every year.
And when is that next collection, Father?
So Lent begins on Wednesday, February 18, 2026. So the collection would be on February 22nd in 2026, the first Sunday of Lent is when the collection will take place.
What are some of the projects that have been funded through that collection? Could you highlight one or two that you're proud of?
Sure. There are lots of different special activities that arise that we've been able to fund, but I would say that the best thing that we provide support to is Catholic education. There are still schools on Indian reservations, and then in urban areas there are Catholic schools that have significant African American populations, and so we provide tuition scholarship assistance. We provide assistance for teacher salaries. We provide assistance for faith formation in the schools, and we also provide assistance with other kinds of programming. So, in the Archdiocese of Baltimore, for example, there are five schools that have significant African American populations. St. Francis Academy being the oldest, but not so long ago, in recent years, we provided funding for the construction of a new Mother Mary Lang School. And we provide that kind of support around the country.
Great. Well, our guest today is Father Maurice Henry Sands, Executive Director of the U.S. Bishops Black and Indian Mission Office in Washington. And we're talking about the work and ministry of his office. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we'll discuss a powerful new film produced by the Black and Indian Mission Office that focuses on the experience of Black Catholics and features some stories from right here in Baltimore. We're going to take a little break. You're listening to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. We'll be back in a moment.
With inviting surroundings, complete independence, and an unmatched quality of life, Mercy Ridge is the unparalleled choice for your retirement lifestyle. It's a way of living that promotes an active, healthier life. Located in Timonium, Maryland, Mercy Ridge Continuing Care Retirement Community features a beautifully landscaped 32-acre campus. The grounds, dining, and recreational amenities and residences are designed to provide a gracious lifestyle and a variety of exciting activities. Visit mercyridge.com.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. During Archbishop Curley High School's recent homecoming day, a group of 60-something ex-soccer teammates made Curley history, 5 decades after their 1975 trip to Poland. The team became the first ever inducted into the all-boys school's Athletic Hall of Fame. Chosen for their skill, sportsmanship, and enduring teamwork, the Friars played 7 full squad games on their 3-week trip to then-communist Poland, finishing with a 4-2-1 record. They defeated experienced Polish club teams and outscored opponents 13-4 in their 4 victories, a remarkable achievement for an American high school team at that time. 50 years later, the team still gathers every 5 years to celebrate their historic journey. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. Young explorers are connecting faith and nature at Monsignor O'Dwyer Retreat House in Sparks. From August through November, children ages 3 to 10 join the Wildly Catholic Homeschool Nature Club for outdoor education, prayer, hands-on activities like campfire, storytelling, and nature play. Brooke Herrera, program creator, said she wanted to incorporate the Catholic faith into nature study. The program, in partnership with the Retreat Center, provides a safe, engaging space where children of all backgrounds can learn about God's creation. A spring session is planned for 2026. For more on this story, visit catholicreview.org. And in Rome, Pope Leo XIV celebrated the Feast of the Immaculate Conception December 8th, praying that Jubilee hope would blossom in Rome and every corner of the earth, inspiring reconciliation, nonviolence, and peace. Standing near the Spanish Steps in central Rome, at the foot of a towering column topped by a statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Pope led thousands of Romans, pilgrims, and tourists in prayer. At dawn that morning, a firefighter named Roberto Leo, the fire service's longest-serving department head in Rome, climbed up 100 rungs of an aerial ladder to place a wreath of white flowers on the outstretched arms of the statue 90 feet above the ground. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. For everyone at Catholic Review Media, I'm Kevin Parks.
Remember the spirit of your parish community, the power of worshiping together, the warmth of friends new and old who share your faith. Join us for Mass this weekend. Visit archbell.org to find a Catholic parish near you. Feel the joy.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. We're talking today with Father Maurice Henry Sands, Executive Director of the U.S. Bishop's Black and Indian Mission Office in Washington, D.C. Father Sands, your office recently produced a new documentary called Trailblazers of Faith. Could you tell us how that project came about and what the film's about?
Sure. In 2019, I worked with the Knights of Columbus to create a documentary on Native American Catholics. And I have been serving in this office since 2015, and I've always have wanted to look for ways that we could let people know more about African-American Catholics, to know more about Native American Catholics, and also to know more about our offices and the work that we do. And so after, great experience of working on the documentary with the Knights of Columbus, I asked the company that actually did the production of the documentary if they would be able to do something similar for our office. And initially we were going to do one documentary for the whole office, but then we decided that it probably made more sense to do one half-hour documentary for our ministry and history of serving African-American Catholics and another half-hour documentary that would look at our ministry and history of serving Native American Catholics. So that's how that came about.
And could you tell us about the film? What's in the documentary?
Well, sure. Yeah. So we decided that it would be really good to have a focus on those who at the time were the six African-American candidates for sainthood. There's now been a seventh who is now being considered. But at the time that we did the films, there were six candidates for sainthood. I have been involved with canonization causes, and I know that they're very challenging for lots of different reasons. And the first cause for an African-American candidate opened in 1968, and all the other ones have been very recent, 1988, 1991, 2010, 2016, and 2018. So these causes are for people who have been really, remarkable people in lots of different ways, really very heroic and living a holy life and doing really great work and being great role models for African-American Catholics and for, for all Catholics. So we decided that we would have a focus on these six candidates for sainthood, in the documentary that we produced.
One of those candidates is Venerable Mother Mary Lang, who is the founder of St. Francis Academy in Baltimore, and she was also the founder of the Oblate Sisters of Providence. Could you tell me a little bit about her and the work that her sisters do today?
Sure. Yeah. So Venerable Mother Mary Lang was born in 1784 in Cuba, and then she migrated to Maryland, settling in Baltimore. And, when she arrived, she saw that free public education was not available for African-American children. So she started a school in her home. And then she also, subsequent to that, founded the first congregation of African-American sisters, who are the Oblate Sisters of Providence. And that first school that that she founded in her home, you know, became St. Francis Academy, and it's still operating to the present day. So, you know, she did a lot of really incredible work, and, you know, she had to overcome a lot of opposition to operating a school, a lot of opposition to founding a religious order of African-American sisters, but she was very, you know, courageous and persistent in you know, pursuing both of those and lots of the other things that she did. So there's a great debt of gratitude that, you know, that we have to Mother Mary Lang for, you know, for her bold faith and her bold, you know, pursuit of justice and education and the opportunity for African-American women to, you know, to become religious sisters.
Do you know where her cause stands today?
So she is venerable. Her cause is at the point where the Catholic in Rome has accepted the evidence that is presented to them and said that she is, you know, a person of heroic virtue. So there are two more steps that need to take place for her to become a saint. And in order to become blessed, a miracle has to be attributed to her intercession. You know, the congregation, or it's now the College of Dicastery, has to approve that. And then a second miracle would need to be accepted by the Dicastery, second miracle attributed to her intercession in order to become a saint. So she's completed step two of four steps on the road to becoming a saint.
How can people see the film, the documentary, and where can they go to watch
it? Sure. Yeah. So if people go to the website for the Black Indian Mission Office, right at the very top of the website, once you sign on, you'll see, you know, an image for the film. If you click on that image, then it will provide you with information about the films. There's a, you know, there are trailers for the films, and then there's a listing of showings that take place on various channels, and then there's also resources available for parishes to put announcements in the bulletin. There are media resources available. So at the current moment, this film is being shown on various Catholic channels. We're working on others to show the channels, and then eventually we will have DVDs available, and we'll also have, you know, links available to view the film. But I think that'll be two or three months down the road before that's available.
That would be great for parishes to have viewings at schools and parishes for the community.
Right.
I was looking at some of the statistics about the Catholic Church, and one study that I said that there are approximately 3.5% of all U.S. Catholics are Native American, and about 4% are Black. And that's a very small minority, but you're still talking about millions of people. How can the church do a better job of reaching out to those communities?
I think that the outreach can best take place at, you know, at the parish level. So for people, you know, in individual parishes all around the country, just to be aware that, you know, that there are people who are members of the parishes who come from backgrounds that are different than theirs in the U.S., especially in urban areas. You know, I would say that almost all parishes have a pretty diverse population. So you have African-American members of parishes, you have Native American members of parishes, you have lots of immigrants from, you know, different parts of the world. And I think that, you know, it's easy to go to Mass on the weekends, you know, and follow your routine, follow, you know, your own particular, you know, ways of being present and participating and not being aware of other people, you know, that are different. So greeting people in, you know, social situations, attending any special events that the different groups have, looking up information, you know, on websites of various organizations like ours or the USCCB Secretary of Cultural Diversity. Every diocese has offices that serve, you know, particular groups of people. So in the Archdiocese of Baltimore, for example, you know, they have an office of Black Catholic Ministries, and there's lots of information and resources available if you go to the Office of Black Catholic Ministry, the portion of the Archdiocese website that is theirs, and you could find that in every diocese all around the country. The Archdiocese of Baltimore has a long history of African Americans being Catholic. So the Baltimore, Washington area is one of the areas, you know, they have really deep roots for African-American Catholics. You know, there are different parts of the country where that's the case, but, you know, the majority of the U.S. did not have African-American Catholics until recent times, but Baltimore is one of the places where there have been African-American Catholics for a long, long time.
Baltimore and New Orleans are kind of like the centers for Black Catholic culture. And
like 15 parishes that have significant African-American population in the Archdiocese of Baltimore, and then 5 schools as well. So that's significant.
Well, our guest today has been Father Maurice Henry Sands. He's the executive director of the U.S. Bishop's Black and Indian Mission Office. So, Father Sands, thanks again so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
You're very welcome. God bless everybody.
For Catholic Review Radio, I'm George Matisek. Thanks for listening.
As parents, we want to put our children on the right path, one that leads them to become intelligent, responsible, compassionate adults. That path begins with a Catholic education. Catholic schools inspire academic excellence with a balanced curriculum that integrates music, arts, world language, and Catholic faith, while challenging students in the areas of science, math, and technology. Help your child reach their full potential. Enroll in a Catholic school today.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week, available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM, also WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area, and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.